taking care of business. Path to Pro Radio is on.
All right, everybody. Gosh, thanks for being on Path to Pro Radio today. Really excited about my guest today, Luis Red Añeja. I call him Red because I've been with him for a long time, working with him. He's the founder of Storyline Real Estate Group, local native in Santa Ana, California. And we're going to talk about his 14 years of experience that he's had in real estate and just working. So, Red, thanks for being on today.
Thank you, Coach. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing good, man. Listen, I really wanted to talk to you because I know that, first of all, you're a man that has multiple businesses. But let's go back with your story. Tell me how you got into real estate.
Oh, man, Coach. So I actually got into real estate by pretty much my parents had a realtor, and I was probably about, God, I'm going to say, 11 or 12 years old when my parents actually had their first realtor help them out. And it was my first experience meeting somebody that was successful. And it intrigued me tremendously. The gentleman came, showed us properties, and every time we went out for a showing, the gentleman had a brand new car, whether it was an Audi or Range Rover. And success at that time for me, it never correlated to a businessman, because obviously how I grew up, I saw people driving nice cars that were not doing good things. So it caught my attention. It just attracted me tremendously to it. And as I got older, as time went on, I could quickly realize that what the path I was heading down and the path I was going towards was not what I wanted to be. So I took a leap of faith when I was living out in Arizona. And I met this gentleman that was putting up, God, maybe about 20 or 25 for sale by owner signs. Mm-hmm. As I was driving home, because I moved from California over to Arizona for a couple of years for personal reasons to get out of the life that I was heading down.
Right.
Change the whole background, change everything for me. And one day when I was driving home, I saw this gentleman putting up, and I got off the car because me being me, I'm not scared to ask people what they do. I'm not scared to talk to anybody. That's just been my character trait since I was a little kid. I got off the car and I said, "Hey, you know, what are you doing?" And he goes, are you a buyer? And I said, no, I'm just interested in seeing what does this mean? Never seen this sign. Come to find out, he was a broker. And back in that time, it was 2008. The market had crashed. Everything had gone to pretty much the crapper, for a better term. And he pretty much took me under his wing, Coach. He told me he was a real estate broker, and he had bought that whole tract home from Beazer Homes at 10 cents on the dollar.
Wow.
And he was selling them, all of them, individually. But at that time, people saw realtors as a bad thing because they blamed us for the market crash, right? So he found a new way of selling houses, which was for sale by owners. And that gentleman got me into the real estate industry. He took me under his wing, taught me about loans, taught me about creative financing, and pretty much set me in my path for my career.
Yeah. And the path, just to let everybody know, the path that you could have gone on if you didn't do this, just give them a little taste of what that could have been.
I probably would have been in jail for life or 6 feet underground. Just plain and simple. It was the wrong path. It was gangs, drugs. At a young age, I was selling drugs myself. It's not a good path. You know, growing up in bad areas and bad neighborhoods, you're only accustomed to seeing the surroundings that you're accustomed to seeing, and you think that is the world. At a young age, you don't get to travel, you don't get to drive, you don't get to go many places. And even as people get older, they get stuck in the cycle where they're at because they feel that they're trapped.
Right.
Me, when I got into a very bad car accident, and I was at my lowest point of my life, no one came to my rescue. No one came to see me. No one came to say, "Hey, how are you? You've been a great part of this. Whatever we've been doing, whether it's bad or it's good, we care about you." And I quickly realized I'm on my own. The only people that were there were actually my mom, my dad, my brother-in-law, my sister, and my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time. Nobody else came. So it opened up my eyes to seeing, you know, why am I doing this? You know, and I just made that harsh decision and told my dad, Dad, I'm a man of integrity and I can tell you that I'm going to stop, but I'm a creature of habit and I'm a creature of my surroundings. So if I don't change my surroundings, I'm going to fall back into the cycle. And chances are you're either going to have to find me in jail for doing something stupid or find me 6 feet under.
Right. And this is reality. This is not like you're making up. I mean, this is, you know, some, you've seen them, you know them, who have actually went that wrong way and are not living now or still out there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I came back and I lasted about 6 years in Arizona. And those 6 years obviously changed my entire trajectory of my life. I got married, had my first two kids. I'm a father of four. Been happily married for 16 years now. And when I came back, it was a cold, harsh reality to see some of the people that I was rolling with had either A, passed away, lost themselves in drugs, were still living at home, not doing anything with their lives. Nothing had changed. So it was probably, it wasn't probably, it was the best decision I ever made in my life for myself.
Gosh, you know, and just think, which is great. And this person that was basically a mentor changed a whole trajectory of where you're going, because now you're owning a couple of restaurants. I mean, you know, let's talk about, you know, this whole situation and in developing your own business and the struggles and being in California where the laws change every other second and what's going on in real estate. So how did you break away and start doing your own thing? How, what was the process there?
So when I moved back, I had a couple friends that were already in the real estate industry that also took me under their wing. And I quickly realized that in order for me to scale my business, I had to pretty much do it on my own. And at the time I had taken on my license, got my real estate license. I actually hired a broker didn't hire me. So I took a broker and I said, hey, I want to use your license because I hear that if I use your license, I can obviously hire agents under me. So I thought I was running a very successful business at the time and doing about 6 to 8 transactions a year, 1 to 2 flips a year. I thought I was the king of the world because in California, California has a very good statistic in regards to real estate, where your average realtor closes anywhere between 3 to 4 deals a year.
Right.
So I was doing about 8 of them. And at that time I felt I was 2 times better than every year average.
Yeah, you're the big dog on campus, man.
Yeah. So I got invited by one of my lenders to a mastermind. And it was a $1 billion panel, it was called. And I'll never forget that time because I thought I'm going to walk into this auditorium and there's going to be about 1,000 realtors sitting out there, you know, to combine their transaction and make $1 billion. Right. Hmm. And I walk in, kind of find out it's 3 agents, Sophia Chacon, Kevin Sturdivant, and Elizabeth Doe.
Right.
All of them from Keller Williams. And it shocked me. It floored me. It made me realize I'm a small fish in a big ocean. these guys are doing $1 billion and there's only 3 of them. And I'm over here, you know, thinking 8 transactions at an average, say $700,000. I'm the king of the world. So it made me realize that scalability was there. Learning how to actually make this and evolve this into a business and seeing it for what it is quickly hit me right in the face. Hmm. And at that time I joined Keller Williams. I did a couple things with Keller Williams from NC, Keller Williams Cerritos, with Josh Ritson, and they taught me a lot. I got to mastermind with some agents that were doing 20, 50, 60 transactions a quarter, and learned a lot of their tips, their tricks, what to do and the scalability of it. And I took their knowledge and obviously invested my money into different assets. At the time, I never bought multifamily real estate. I would buy businesses. I would create jobs. I would invest in companies. I would meet up with people and hear what they were doing and see if I could obviously offer my knowledge and my experiences with what I know in business and structuring up businesses. And I grew my capital from there. I owned a temp agency at one point. I partnered up with a couple friends to buy a car dealership to be able to buy and resell vehicles. I got to experience going to Manheim, which was buying cars like the dealers do, and saw the back end of what dealers do and learned the tricks, the trades. I bought a boxing franchise as well too, with one of my good friends, Chewy, who's a professional fighter, retired now, but he's still a professional trainer. And my son's godfather, Robert Villasenor, which we call Pun, who is now a corner man for a Golden Boy promoter, boxer, Alexis Rocha. And I got to experience that life in the boxing. And then I opened up my restaurants. And now I'm a proud owner of a KW franchise.
Yeah, so you'd like to put your hands on a lot of different things. So what, from all of this, the restaurants, because, you know, I was with you through a lot of those evolutions. Headaches and evolutions. What have you discovered about this whole process, owning multiple businesses and growing your real estate business to where it is? Because you started working with investors too, a lot too, which is, you know, that's not easy for everybody to do. What have you figured out from all this experience that you've been having?
What I figured out is hiring smarter. And I've learned this tremendously from you all the time. When I started with your coaching, it was a headache. It was a cluster of all kinds of problems coming from all kinds of directions. And the analogy that you gave me, it always sticks in my head. You know, it was like too many planes trying to land in the same runway.
Yeah,
you know, I am the runway. I have so many businesses trying to come my way. How do I spread myself? How do I multiply myself? Right. So I started hiring, you know, and hiring and not giving myself my job back and being able to promote and create opportunities for other people that were smarter in the fields of whatever industry I was actually investing in. Because I was lost at the same time. And what I discovered was I was trying to figure everything out and run everything myself. Which again, at a certain point sounds logical. And when you don't have any experience and you don't have anybody to reference this from, it mm-hmm. sounds like you're doing the right thing.
Right.
But in essence, you're only bogging yourself down and eating up your time and actually doing the things that are not producing you any kind of income to be able to level up and invest more.
Right.
So I started buying back my time. Realistically, what we talk about all the time.
Yeah.
Being able to actually focus in on the activities that are going to produce me the maximum yield return for what I'm good at and what I'm great at. And then obviously hiring for people what they're great at to be able to excel and grow my businesses in which I'm investing in.
And that's hard to do sometimes, to let go like that, isn't it?
It's extremely hard, Coach. It's extremely hard because as humans, we have a characteristic and a trait to be able to, if you want something done, and you get taught this all the time, if you want something done, you do it yourself. If you want something done, you do it yourself.
Right.
And that mentality only works for a very small period of time. And it's only going to get you only to a certain level of success, right? Because no matter what, at a certain point, everything seems to be working. And for me, until I hired you, everything I thought was working, right? I didn't see the holes. I didn't see the patches. I didn't see the writing on the wall. I just saw success, growth, success, growth, success, growth, success, growth. And, or what I perceived as success and growth. Quickly realized that when things started falling and the foundation wasn't set right, things became very chaotic in my life. And I started realizing that I could potentially lose my opportunity. I could lose my entire investment portfolio. So understanding that you have to be able to delegate, you have to be able to replicate yourself, hire with the intention that you're hiring the right person. You're not just putting up a sign that says hiring now, and the first person that knocks on the door, you're just going to give them the opportunity just because they showed up. You have to be very strategic. You have to be very meticulous about who you're going to hire, what you're going to hire them for, what position you're going to give them in your company, and be quick to let them go. If they're a cancer in the company, if they're a cancer in the business, you have to understand that your business is your number one lifeline. Emotions, feelings, compassion, no. Success, it's not an easy pill to swallow. And you have to be, sometimes they call it heartless, but you have to be strategic
right.
with the moves that you're going to make in order for you to grow.
And you were hard. talk about strategic. Remember the days, and I want to bring this up because you had partners that you had to have strategic conversations with also, which is interesting. Oh, yeah. Not just the employees, you had to talk to your partners in a way to give you back your life. Because, you know, I know that family is important to you too.
Oh, yeah, tremendously, Coach. I mean, when I thought I was successful when I was running the business by myself, I didn't realize, in hindsight, I didn't realize what I was actually leaving behind. So my first two kids that were born, I pretty much could tell you I didn't experience anything with them. I didn't experience some of the walking. I didn't experience some of them, you know, having their potty training, tying their shoe. A lot of those things I didn't experience. And I thought I was sacrificing the right things to be able to provide a better lifestyle for them. But that wasn't the case. And I have an amazing relationship with my wife. She's very supportive. I wouldn't be where I'm at if it wasn't for my wife as well. But truthfully so, I didn't realize that I was not being present in their life. And that's a huge part of my life. I think it's very, very important because my dad did everything he could, strongest working man that I know. Mm-hmm. And he provided for us an amazing lifestyle. He provided for us what he could with the job that he had and the opportunities that were presented to him. But he was always present, you know, and he was always there to talk to me. He was always there to tuck me in bed. He was always there to at the dinner table, you know, and I remember that clearly that we would always eat dinner together as a family, us four. My sister, my mom, and my dad. And to me, I lost sight of that because I thought I was diving straight into success. And I thought I was doing the right thing by being so invested and so tied up. And, you know, if I'm busy, I'm successful. If I'm busy, I'm successful. And if I got to get home at 9 o'clock in the morning, that means I'm successful. And people correlate that with success. And that's not the case. So to me, I wanted to be able to now get home at an earlier time. And that's the one thing that we talked about the most, Coach. And I remember we talked about this in the beginning. Mm-hmm. I want to get home earlier. I want to be there for my younger two, you know, and we have two more kids and I've experienced so much with them. I finished the season with my son and I was his coach. You know, I was part of the coaching team for his baseball season. It's so amazing, Coach. You know, I mean, it's so amazing because in essence, I was there and I remember one game I did miss and it was for a particular incident that happened at one of the restaurants and life's going to happen. You know, things are not rainbows and unicorns, but you fix them as best as they can. And I remember that the next day, my son was very sad. And he's like, Dad, you know, I was stressed and I couldn't swing because you weren't there. And I was like, wow, the power of us being there is so huge.
Yeah. And that hits you right in the heart, doesn't it?
Amazing.
Hits you right.
Oh yeah, it does. It does. So to me, it was just very important for me to be able to level up, and not focus so much on just saying that I'm doing it. Like, and you know this about me, Coach. I hate accolades. To me, rewards and, you know, being the number one agent in your office and all that stuff, it drowns you and it focuses you on the wrong things. It makes you feel like you've accomplished it all. And success doesn't give a shit about you. I mean, once that day is done, you're now the loser of the office. You know,
why do you think this, though?
You're done.
Red, why do you think that not enough people talk about this? This is because I know how important your family is to you and you got almost dragged away. Why aren't more people that talk to us about success in real estate talk about this, you think?
You only know what you know, Coach. Mm-hmm. In hindsight, people love to kind of congregate around what they're achieving, what they're doing. To be my biggest success is be able to provide a lifestyle that I'm a part of with my family. Because that's the biggest thing, you know. It's great to be able to have a great income. It's great to be able to have your kids in private schools and everything else. But if you can't be present for their events, if you can't be present for the things that they're doing, you know, are you really providing them what they need? You know, because you're not there. You're not there as a family, as a cluster, as a unit. You're not giving your kids your insights. You're not giving your kids your life experiences. You're not giving your kids what you want them to become in the future. And again, you know, you got to support your kids with what they do. But I think people don't talk about it because they don't have the right coach in their life.
I appreciate that. Thank you for that. But, you know, but it means a lot to me, too. You know, you have four. I had six. So it was, how do I go to everything and still pay all the bills? And, you know, your wife is at home. My wife was at home. So it's not like we had two incomes coming in. It really changes things. And what does Zig Ziglar say? You know, he's never seen a U-Haul behind a Hearst, which is a great thing. So yeah. So what do you think? I'm so glad you said that, because it's important. More people need to understand this is not about the things. It's about the legacy you leave behind. And I have to, you know, we all have to remind ourselves of that. Where do you see now? You're in California, you're in the hotbed of changes in real estate, and just they throw you curveballs all the time. Talk to us a little bit about doing business in California in general, because you have several different businesses. How difficult it is, and what are some of the frustrations of doing business in California?
Oh man, the frustrations are endless. it just hits you in every aspect. Whether it's real estate, whether it's restaurants, whether it's investments, whether it's flips, California has so many obstacles that they throw at you, no matter what the circumstances are. You know, laws change consistently. If you want to grow your business in certain areas, in certain counties, in certain cities, you got to go to every city to be able to understand all their codes. For instance, I took a listings once. I'm in Orange County, California. Mm-hmm. My headquarters is in Costa Mesa, and we took a listing in LA County, right? And you know, our license, our California real estate license, is you're a California real estate agent. Right. So you could sell from coast to coast in the whole entire state of California. Obviously you should know and understand the rules, regulations, and things that you should know, right? Well, I put up my sign for sale at the property, and lord and behold, 2 weeks later, I get a fine for $2,000. And I was baffled. I was like, dude, I don't even get a warning. Like, not even one warning. What's the fine for? The fine was that my sign was too close to the sidewalk, so it obstructed the pathway of people, particularly handicapped people. And I was like, really? And I go back, and I still have that picture in my phone book too. And I took a picture of my sign. My sign was encroaching by 1 inch onto the sidewalk, because it was hanging over a fence, and obviously I want visibility. I want people to see that the house is for sale. It was hanging over 1 inch on the fence line. And it drove me crazy. And then, again, we did a flip in the city of Santa Ana. And the flip that we did in the city of Santa Ana, you know, we go through the whole process, get everything done, and the inspector comes in, and he pretty much almost red tags and shuts down the whole flip. Reason being for the flip was the city had to pull a permit to change a garbage disposal in a property for the city of Santa Ana. Now, the permit for the city of Santa Ana was almost $450 to $500, and the garbage disposal was like about $139.
Just for a garbage disposal?
Garbage disposal, coach.
Sheesh.
So California throws obstacles and obstacles to you 100 times over. So I quickly started realizing and seeing, you know, what is the path. It's not good to say it that way, but the path of least resistance in the real estate industry, because truthfully, investors, the reason I started aligning so much with investors is because I'm a numbers person. You know, I'm the CFO on most of my companies,
right?
Because I love numbers. I love what I do. And, you know, I was in loans, so I understand loans. I understand returns on investments, ROI, cap rates, the whole nine yards. And it's easier for me to conversate and just have simple outlines and analysis on investments. With investors, it was super easy, you know, because they have the group, they have the capital, they have the know if whether this is not going to be a good trade or not, and they're just buying cash. So again, loans change tremendously all the time. In California, regulations for loans, CalHAF for loans, interest rates are volatile throughout the whole entire process. But truthfully, so Orange County, we live in a bubble. What I mean by being in a bubble is Orange County is a very conservative county. Mm-hmm. And we don't see all these crazy things that are going on in the world, and we don't actually feel the harshness of the market, because things are still selling here,
right,
like crazy. You price it right, you market it right, and you stage it right, they sell. And they don't sell for like, you know, a couple thousand over asking or whatever the situation is. I can give you a perfect example. I just listed a property in the city of Tustin. 1,440 square feet, three bedroom, two bath, two car garage with a pool, 8,900 square foot lot. The house is a complete fixer, Coach. The windows are broken. The windows are old, has popcorn ceiling. The roof is damaged. There's water leaks in the garage. One of the bathrooms does not work completely. The flooring is completely garbage. It doesn't have any baseboards throughout the whole entire house. The washer and dryer drain main line is clogged. And mind you, I'm just giving you certain things. Water heater doesn't work. Air conditioning doesn't work. Furnace doesn't work.
Perfect.
With that, with that being said, Coach, I listed the property as coming soon. I looked at the comps. I said, look, it's going to cost maybe roughly around $250,000 to get this property up and running again. And that's obviously adding nice finishes and stuff like that. Can people get it done for $180,000? I think they could. You don't have to live in luxury all the time. Right. But in essence, the area that it's in, $200,000, you'll get this property up and running. So look at the comps, took away $200,000, put it up on the market. And I said, look, we're going to list it with hopes that, you know, people are going to close a blind eye and just buy it for the location, buy it for the opportunity, buy it for the future costs. And we listed it for $800,000. First day on the market, had about 16 or 18 showings and 11 offers on the first day. We ended up selling it for $70,000 over asking, all cash, no contingencies, no nothing. So
unbelievable.
The market is still hot. Yeah, it's a very interesting market. It has its downs. The ups are a lot greater. It's a very difficult market. I mean, in the restaurant side, that's a whole different animal, Coach. I mean, with all the laws that change, discrimination laws, ADA compliances, gender neutral bathrooms, even hiring people. So in California, when you hire someone to actually work for you, whether it's real estate, whatever company you got to go through, you cannot do a background check on them. You cannot ask them what their previous job experiences are. You cannot ask them what they used to get paid. You cannot ask them if they're a criminal, if they have any warrants. You cannot ask them anything until they get hired on to your company.
Yeah, until they take all your cash from the drawer.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
you know, it's a difficult trade. So we built a very good system at the restaurants where we hire people that are workers and that have been in the industry. It's easier to get a referral from them, and that's how we hire strong. You know, people that know people that understand what kind of worker they want. And in our company, I'm doing the same thing with them, with our managers, with our general managers, with our leads, to know that when there's a cancer in the company, boot them out. You know, it's simple. They all understand we work as a group, we work as a unit. So if one turn and one squeaky wheel is not working in this whole entire mechanism, because we're an engine, you know, all cylinders have to be working, the oil has to be going through the whole entire engine, gas has to be full, the whole nine yards. If something is off, then the company is not doing great. And whatever that part is, we got to fix it. We got to get to the core problem of it. Wow. And I mean, I've had incidents where people get offended because my application says, are you a male or a female? I've had instances where they sue us for that particular because we're discriminating against their gender. There's just, it's fun, you know? And hindsight, after getting so much coaching from you and, you know, learning how to not get the emotions tied into things and thinking level-headedness, it's very interesting that when a problem occurs, we focus in on the solution, not what caused the problem. Once you find the solution, then you go back and analyze the problem and say, all right, cool. If this happened, let's get it fixed. Let's not let it happen again. Period. Wow.
Yeah, you know, it's so good to hear you. First of all, a couple of things. One is, you're a family man and you can still be successful being a family man. Yes, you've got to be focused on certain things, and you're going to have better skills, is what you're saying, to be able to handle certain things. You just can't go in there and go hard charging, because you have to have strategy. So Red, man, this has been great. I appreciate it. You know, I always respect what you've done. You're a great client, and I'm looking forward to continue to work with you. And I want to thank you for being the Path to Pro Radio today. That was awesome.
No, appreciate it, Coach. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
All right, man. Have a great day.
You too.
See you. Bye.
Path to Pro Radio.